Honorable Shri Rajiv Chandrasekhar Ji. You have 10 minutes.
So this budget is a landmark budget. There is no other way to describe it. This budget signals that the worst economic crisis that India has faced in centuries is behind it, and it marks an inflection point in the roadmap that the Prime Minister has laid out to expansion and prosperity. Sir, I just would like to recall the draw the attention of the House to a conversation that was happening here in September of last year, and the 23.9% contraction in the first quarter was used by my friends in the opposition to create a doomsday scenario of an imminent doomsday about the Indian economy. But the government was very confident that the various measures that it had put into place and public policy actions during the COVID would allow the economy to recover, and there was a projection that it would be -10% would be the extent of the contraction. But the reality, sir, is that even that has been surpassed, and the economy has turned out to be more resilient and recovered stronger with only a -7.7% growth. So I just wanted to put that on record, sir, that there was a group of people here who were crying doomsday just a few months ago, and we are where we are today. Sir, I would like through you, sir, to inform the House and the country about a specific issue of what this -7.7% contraction means. -7.7% contraction means a real loss of about 15 to 18 lakh crores in the output of our economy. This is a real loss. And like any natural calamity that causes losses to the economy and to livelihoods, the COVID pandemic was a natural calamity that has caused a real loss to our economy. And this loss, sir, like other natural calamities, let's say if it happens in your state, the center foots the bill.
Let's keep silence in the House, please.
But this is a loss that is a nation's loss. This is a loss that we have to bear as a country. And so, sir, this loss is not attributable to any fault of a state or a center. This loss of 18 lakh crores is directly attributable to a virus that was exported from China. So, sir, we have to find the resources. We have to create the additional output of GDP to bridge this loss. So this once-in-a-lifetime crisis is also a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to grow and rebuild the losses. Every country in the world, sir, is having to deal with the COVID-linked economic losses, except, of course, China, sir. So, sir, this budget is therefore about growth and jobs. This budget is also being built, sir, on the momentum of a very strongly recovering economy post the lockdown. Government receipts are showing strong growth, both direct and indirect taxes, indicating that there is minimum scarring in the real economy. India, sir, has received the highest FDI flows in this period. And for the first time since Atalji's government, we have posted a current account surplus. All of this has led to the IMF forecasting that India will be the highest, fastest growing economy in the coming year with 11.5% growth. So this is good news for us. May not be the best news for the opposition, but this is the reality where we are today, sir. So this budget is a landmark budget. Why? Because it has been designed for growth. It has been designed for jobs. And I don't have very much time, sir. I wanted to go into the details of what the design is. But let me lay out the seven aspects of this budget that are designed for growth. One is, the government spending will lead growth and job creation. Second, a big boost in infrastructure investments. Third, increased government execution capacity, and I'll come to this point in a bit, sir. Expansion of manufacturing. Focus of wellness, not just as wellness, sir, but wellness as a guarantor of sustained economic growth. Very important, just as we are recovering from a huge pandemic that has caused us huge economic loss. Sir, financial sector expansion and transparency in budgeting. I'll just quickly touch on a few of these points. So why is government spending to lead growth and expansion and jobs so important? Why was it not possible to be done by a government during the UPA period when they were also in fiscal crisis? Sir, it is possible because 5 years of fiscal consolidation and fiscal prudence by the Narendra Modi government in his first term has created a financial sector that is capable of fully on its own dealing with all the costs and all the losses of this COVID pandemic. It is an important point to understand the difference between the Prime Minister Narendra Modi's approach towards economic management and the profligacy of the government that he replaced. Sir, increase government execution capacity. Why I want to touch on this? Kapil Sibal ji in yesterday's speech said, ye sab chodo, land clearance 10 saal lenge, 5 saal lenge government projects banane mein. Main aapko ek example deta hun, sir. Is COVID ke dauran, the government has financed and completed 217 projects from the National Infrastructure Pipeline that were kicked off only in 2019 at a cost of 1.20 lakh crores. That is government execution capacity that has been built up. Sir, wellness pe bahut charcha hua yahan pe, sir, ki oh, budget ye hai, budget wo hai. Just a simple fact, the budget for health and wellness in 2014 was 27,000 crores. That is what the UPA left. The budget today is 2.35 lakh crores with an approach to wellness as a guarantor for sustained economic growth because, sir, we don't want any pandemic from China or any other country to any more derail our economy in the future. We want Indians to be well, resilient, and be able to combat any pandemic in the future. Sir, somebody, I think Kapil Sibal ji also said ki there is jugglery of data. I just want to respectfully point out to the opposition, the last time there was jugglery of data, it stopped in 2014 when there were zero losses claims, when fiscal deficit numbers were hidden in OMC balance sheets. This budget shows to every Indian citizen where every rupee comes from and where every rupee goes. It sets a standard in transparency that every Indian should be proud of. Sir, before I end, I want to touch on three specific points that have been raised as criticisms of this budget. Disinvestment. This is a... I said, sir, 18 lakh crores is a loss to our economy. Now, this loss is real. If my friends from the left, who are very close to China, or my friends from the Congress who have an MOU with China, can find a way to recover the money from China, we will not disinvest. Sir, point is, this loss... This virus came from China. If you have friends there, you please restore, you please ask them to compensate India for the loss. You have the MOU, you have the relationship. You don't oppose this investment then. No, what is this? This is the truth.
Chandrasekhar ji, please address the chair.
I welcome my friends who have MOUs and relationships for the country that exported the virus to help us foot this loss. I leave that option open to them. Sir, hypocrisy is a staple of opposition politics, sir. This opposition to private sector expansion in our economy is from a party that has a long illustrious track record of handing out public assets to private cronies. 2G spectrum, coal blocks, public sector enterprise assets, land. Sir, taking contracts away from public sector companies like HAL and giving it to private Italian companies and private Swiss companies for VIP helicopters and trainer aircraft. ये हमें सिखाते हैं अपने fake socialism के साथ वो हमें socialism सिखाते हैं.
Please conclude,
sir.
Honourable member, please conclude.
This is the irony.
It will be examined.
This is the irony that talks about income inequality that created the most historic crony capitalism culture in the 10 years that is called the lost decade.
Please conclude.
Sir.
Chandrasekhar ji, please conclude.
I will just want to touch on this textbook economics theory. Sir, the former finance minister yesterday talked about demand side economics. And he has been saying this for a long time, sir. First of all, I want to remind the country of the Congress's disastrous record in this demand side economics in 2008. That cost is still being paid by the country. Or what happened to NPS, what happened to the banking system? Sir, simple common sense tells us today that demand is linked to consumer confidence. Consumer confidence will come when the vaccinations take place and the risk of the pandemic fade. That is common sense. And today, sir, if anybody looks at the data, bank deposits are growing in double digit, which means what? People have the money, they're saving it in banks. The moment consumer confidence restores after the vaccination is distributed, that savings will translate into consumption. This is common sense. Now, this is not there in some Harvard textbook, probably, which is where the former finance minister is getting his economic knowledge, but that is common sense economic logic, and that is prudent economics. Sir, I will just end, sir, by saying the following. This is a landmark moment in our economic history. A chaiwala who the Indians have made the prime minister have shown that we can aspire to be a truly trusted global nation befitting our civilizational history. While the Milan pedigrees, the Harvard degrees, the Cambridge tennis courts, terrorists, separatists, Gretas, and the assorted Andolanjeevis may keep trying to slow down India's rise, let there be no doubt that Indians have rejected this politics and economics of cronyism, dynasties, fake socialism, vote banks, once and for all in 2014, will never return to it again.
Fantastic.
India is moving from policies that arrested us to the past to policies and thinking that open up opportunities to the future. Atmanirbhar Bharat of 130 crore Indians can aspire to grow and expand and play a bigger role in the changing world order. We will together, under the leadership of Prime Minister Narendra Modi, continue our progress to a new India, an Atmanirbhar India, where mantra will always be Sabka Saath, Sabka Vikas, Sabka Vishwas. Sir, last September, I'm ending, sir.
Please, bad.
Last September,
Please बैठ कर बात ना करें.
Last September, sir, I ended my.
Please बैठ कर बात ना करें.
Conclude. Sir, last September, I ended my intervention. Sir, last September, I ended my intervention by saying this. I'll repeat this today. Regardless of this deep shock in our lives and livelihoods, we must keep the faith. We must be united. We must be confident that we will prevail. We will grow. We will thrive. I end this speech, sir, with my salute to the men and women who helped us safe, keep us safe during the pandemic. I also salute the brave men and the women of our armed forces and paramilitary forces at the LAC, protecting our national integrity and sovereignty from all those who seek to violate it.
Thank you,
sir.
Thank you. Fantastic.